This is the workshop on evangelism, and hopefully an opportunity for us to take away some tips and techniques for how we can step up and step out and share the gospel and do so in a winsome and way that honors and glorifies the Lord. My name is Mark Bella, and the guy here in the Roll Tide hoodie that's helping me is Tom Young. And so we're looking forward to a good time over the next hour or so, and I think that the Lord will provide a good opportunity for us to hopefully come away from here with, like I say, a couple of new ideas on how we can do just that, and that's share His truth out there in a dark world that needs to have some light cast upon it. So as we get started, let me go ahead and pray for our time and ask the Lord to bless us. Father God, just grateful that you give us this opportunity to come here to talk about you and to learn how we can do just that, to talk to you and to talk to others about your truth and the love and the mercy and grace that you give us. I just pray for each one of these men that in this time, Lord, you would guide us by the power of your Spirit here present with us as we come together in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that you're here with us, Lord, and that our words, our thoughts, our actions, all that we're about in this time and always would be honoring and pleasing to you who are worthy of all praise. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so good morning, guys. I hope everybody got a lot of breakfast. Maybe not too much, but that is one thing that we seem to get a lot of around here. And that's also, in addition to the food, a time that we can come together as men. I really enjoy it. We can get together on a weekend like this, come together as men and learn how men can share the truth of who Jesus Christ is, what He's done for us, what He can do for others that we have opportunity to engage and share in relationship with, whether that's a short-term relationship or long-term relationship. And so we'll talk about some of that as well, how we can evangelize and engage others, both kind of a short-term and over a course of time. So before we get started, I want to share with you a story. And when this story was told to me, I was told it's a true story. And so I've come to figure out that a lot of the time when someone tells you this is a true story, it probably isn't. But I think this one might be a true story. So there's this guy, Joe, and he goes out for a walk. Joe's on his walk, and he comes upon a house where the homeowner's sitting out in the front yard, and he's got a sign in the front yard that says, "Talking dog for sale, $10. And Joe's like, "Wow, talking dog? I got to see what this is about." So he walks up to the homeowner, and he says, "You know, I'm interested in seeing your dog." And the homeowner says, "Dog's around back." He goes around back, and he sees this beautiful male yellow lab sitting in the backyard, and he's like, "Okay, talking dog." He walks up and kind of sarcastically says, "I'm going to see what this is about," and asks the dog, "Okay, so what's your story?" To his amazement, this dog starts talking and telling him his story. And the dog says, "I used to work for the U.S. government. And they had me working in the CIA. And they'd send me around to all these different countries around the world, and they'd have me sit in on these meetings of political figures and military leaders, and so I'd overhear what they were talking about, and then I'd come back and tell the CIA what was going on. And so I felt like I was really serving my country and doing a good service, but it just got to the point where I was just tired of the travel. It was just wearing me out. And so I said, you know, I'd rather do something else of service, and so I asked if I could work airport security." And the whole time this dog's talking, Joe is just like, "Oh my gosh, this is incredible." And so the dog continues, and he's like, "I was working airport security, and we would see suspicious-looking characters. I would walk over and eavesdrop on their conversations and hear what was going on. And, you know, if they were up to no good, then we could prevent, hopefully, a bad thing from happening at the airport." Joe's just like, "This is just absolutely incredible. I cannot believe this dog is talking to me." But then the dog goes on and he says, "I just got tired of the work, and so I'm ready to retire. I've got my dog wife, and she and I are going to have some puppies and just settle down, and so that's what I'm looking to do now." Joe's just like, "This is the most incredible thing I think I've ever seen." He turns around and runs to the front yard and pulls out $10 and tells the homeowner, I want to buy your dog, but you have got to tell me, why are you selling him for only $10? And the homeowner's like, that dog lies. He never did any of that stuff. And so the deal is, this guy totally missed the point. He missed the point. He's got a talking dog, but he totally missed the point. And you're probably thinking, okay, we're in a workshop about evangelism. Why are you telling me about a talking dog? Well, the thing is, I think we sometimes too, as Christians, miss the point. We miss the point of what our calling is about. And I heard Greg Laurie, I don't know if you're familiar with Greg Laurie, he's a pastor out of Southern California. I like him anyway, even though he's out of Southern California. He's a great pastor. I heard him on the radio the other day, and he was talking about three purposes that we have for being called of the Lord, for being in God's service. The first is to give glory to God. The second one is to edify and build up the church, to encourage one another within the body of Christ. And then the third purpose is to go out into the world and share the truth of Jesus Christ with others. And it's his contention that we've missed the point of truly fulfilling that third purpose of going out and sharing the truth of Jesus Christ with others. And so that's why we want to spend some time here talking about that, how we can do that, and do it in a way that I hope you will find encouraging and rewarding as well, but that will first and foremost bring glory to God. And so I want to jump in here first and talk about, and you can follow along with your handout. If anybody didn't get a handout, there's some on that chair in the back. And we want to look at the why. Why do we want to evangelize? Why do we want to go out and share the gospel? Now, I'm not going to exhaust this because I figure you guys probably already have a pretty good understanding of why. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in a workshop on evangelism. But I think for a couple of reasons, it's good to talk about the why, and we'll look at that. And so I've got some verses here, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. If someone would pull that up, open your Bible and read that out for us. Okay, and your name?
Bruce.
Bruce? Yeah, go ahead, Bruce. Matthew 22, 37 through 40.
Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the you know, first and foremost, we want to love the Lord our God with all that we are, all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second command is just as great, to love our neighbor. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. Someone read that for us. Do it in your best, loudest outdoor voice.
And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
To go out into the world and share his truth. Acts 1:8. Someone read that for us.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. He shall be my witness both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, in all Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth.
So go therefore and be a witness to Jesus in an ever widening circle. You get that, of course, don't you, from Acts 1:8? That we're called to evangelize and be his witness in an ever-widening circle. First and foremost, that most intimate circle of our family, our friends, those people that are within that closest sphere of influence that we have. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20.
Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God.
Anyone in here a minister? I'm hoping your takeaway from that passage of Scripture right there would be that we're all called to be ministers. We're all ministers of reconciliation, reconciling a broken world to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We're all called to be His ambassadors. 1 Peter 3:15. Anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that you have within you, and do this with gentleness and respect, always prepared to give an answer. And then lastly, Colossians 4, 5, and 6. So a few key takeaways from reading through these particular passages of Scripture. One, we share a message that's grounded in the truth of God's Word. We don't base it on emotion, on feeling, on opinion. It's grounded in the absolute truth of God's Word. A second key takeaway here, within the context of evangelism, a really helpful technique that you can utilize if you have opportunity when you're evangelizing with another man is to have him read God's Word out loud. There is something very powerful about a man hearing himself speak God's Word out loud. And then the third point is, a lot of times, maybe not a lot of times, many times when you are sharing God's Word, people will ask you, why? Why are you doing that? These passages of Scripture explain it. This is why. I'm called to do it. So that's why I wanted to spend just a little bit of time on the why. Now, the second part, who, when, and where. I'm not sure I can give a real clear answer on that, because it's basically anyone, anywhere, anytime. That doesn't mean I'm going to go down and stand on the street corner with a bullhorn 24/7 and start sharing the gospel that way. What it means is, much like 1 Peter 3:15 says, I'm always prepared to give an answer should someone ask. Anytime, anyone, anywhere. Dr. Gregory, did you have a question?
You already said that 1 Peter 3:15, Sam and I were using that verse as we come up, but be ready when somebody asks. Be ready always. Don't be half ready. Be ready.
Amen. But here's the deal. And this is a key takeaway I want you to hopefully have from our time spent here is something that a guy named Mark Cahill, who wrote a book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. It's a great resource, and it's one that I've included on the back of the handout. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. But the one thing you can't do in heaven is tell people about Jesus Christ. And so while we're here, while we have opportunity to do that, a point he makes is that oftentimes people think, when I share the gospel, when I evangelize, one of three things is going to happen. One, that person's going to accept Christ and be saved. That's a win. Two, that person may not accept Christ, but a seed will be planted. That's a win. Or three, they may reject me. They may just totally turn away from what it is I'm having to say. Most people think that's a loss. And his point is, well, you know, 66% of if the odds are 66% in my favor, that's pretty good. But really what he wants to say, and what I'd like to repeat from his book is, if our primary objective in sharing the gospel is first and foremost to bring glory to God, it's not about results, it's not about me, it's not about me seeing somebody else come to Christ necessarily, it's about me glorifying God and doing what He's called me to do, then regardless of the reaction, no matter what the result turns out to be, it's a win. It's always a win, win, win. And so for me, when I read that from his book, it was a really kind of eye-opener positive takeaway that helped me establish a little bit more confidence in the way I go out and share the gospel. To know that I'm a guy and I really like to win, and I like to see the results of that, but the primary result is I'm giving glory to God no matter what this other person ends up doing. Whether they accept Christ, a seed's planted, or they might even laugh at me. First and foremost, the glory to God. And so two more verses I want to point out with respect to that. Would somebody pull up Luke 6, 22, 23? Somebody pull up 1 Peter 4, 14. No matter what the results are, great is my reward in heaven. And it's a blessing from the Lord because I've stepped out in faith and obedience to Him. So somebody got the other?
If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blaspheming. But on your part, He is glorified.
So encouraged by that? I mean, does that establish a little bit more confidence in your thinking about going out and sharing the gospel? To know that no matter what the result is, it's a win? I mean, it does me. It encourages me. Yes, sir?
When we share our faith, what the essence we are doing is turning that person over to God Almighty to act in their lives as He sees fit. They don't stand a chance.
Amen. And you're absolutely right, because it's God's work. Anyone called is going to be called of the Lord, not because of anything I necessarily say or do. I'll allow the Lord to work through me by the power of His Spirit, but it's God's work. I'm just His messenger. And so the thing I want to look at next that we really want to go ahead and dig into is the power of prayer with respect to evangelism. Now, another good book, one that I would recommend, is E.M. Bounds. Anyone here familiar with the pastor E.M. Bounds? Power through prayer. I love this quote. So see if you get this. I didn't put it on your handout, but I love this. This is from E.M. Bounds. Talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. He will never talk well and with real success to men for God, who has not learned well how to talk to God for men? That speaks of the power of prayer in our evangelism. It's something we all can do all the time. We don't have to get out and engage folks necessarily. But there are ways in which we can engage the Lord for those that we would long to see come to know Him. Yes, sir.
You ever start sharing the gospel with somebody and you see the wheels turning? How did my grandmother get this guy to come talk to me? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's praying for him and you just see the wheels turning in your head.
And you know right there, man, this is bigger than me. There is something going on here that is bigger than me, and it's God at work. Amen, man. And so what we want to talk about now, and I'm going to turn it over to Tom for just a bit here, and he's going to share something with you with respect to evangelism and prayer.
All right, I'm going to start my presentation with some scripture to build foundation on the Word of God. And then I'm going to build on top of that some personal examples. And then I'm going to finish with a practical application to illustrate the point. So I'm going to tell you a true story. It's a really true story, unlike the talking dog true story that you heard earlier. Before I get into that, let me talk about some scripture. Paul said in Romans 10:1, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." And here we have an example of Paul praying for the salvation of the lost. In this case, his Jewish brothers that he's talking about. But Paul is praying for the salvation of the lost. Paul also said in 1 Timothy 2:1 through 4, "First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, For kings and all who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I've used this passage in the past to pray for, you know, government leaders, right? Because that's what Paul talks about. But it wasn't until I did this study that I said, hey, Paul is saying pray for all people and pray for their salvation. So, again, this is another example of a command or exhortation that we should pray for the lost. Jesus said in John 6:44 and verse 65 that only God can draw people to Him. We can't draw people to Jesus. Only God can. And also a couple other scriptures reflect that God grants people repentance leading to life and truth. Acts 11:18 and 2 Timothy 2:25. We can't grant people repentance. It all comes from God. So what do we do? What is our part to play? Well, the answer to this question is in 2 Corinthians 4:4 through 7, and I'd like everyone to turn to that one and read along with me. There will be a short quiz at the end. Actually, there will be. It's not a joke. So 2 Corinthians 4:4 through 7, and I'm going to start reading. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Finally, verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So I'm going to ask you a few questions on this. First one's found in verse 4. Who has blinded unbelievers from seeing the light? The God of this world. And then the second question is also in verse 4. What is the light? The gospel of the glory of Christ. Exactly. Third question I got is in verse 6. So who has given us the light? God. And a good analogy that I heard about us being witnesses, that we're just mirrors, you know, that reflect the light of God. I really like that as an analogy. Or we just reflect the love that He gives us, or the grace or the peace or whatever it is. Paul uses a different analogy in verse 7. What analogy does he use? What's that? That we're jars of clay. We're just vessels of what God has given us, right? And why does he use that analogy at the end of verse 7?
Make us realize that we're not the focus, we're just...
Excellent. Yeah. And I'll quote it. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're just witnesses. That's all we are. We're witnesses to His power, right? We're witnesses to God. So again, I told you, I'm going to tell you a true story, a really true story, to illustrate the point that the battle is won before the fight begins on the field of prayer. So this story is going to illustrate the point that the battle is won before the fight begins on the field of prayer. Some years ago, I was in the middle of conflict at work. It wasn't very pleasant at all. In fact, there was... some gossip, people talking about me behind my back. There's accusations. I didn't like it. Work definitely wasn't a fun place for me to be at. So I was praying to God. I said, God, you know, do you want me to get another job? Because God could do that. I mean, if all God had to do is say yes, and I'd have my notice the next day. Goodbye. God takes care of me. He's going to give me another job. But He said no. I was praying to Him, and I didn't hear Him audibly say no, but I definitely heard Him say no. So I didn't know what to do. So I looked in the Bible for directions on what to do next. Okay, He wants me to stay at this job. God told me to pray for my enemy. I had absolutely, positively no desire to do so. But out of surrender, I prayed for him every day as consistently as I could. And this went on for a couple years. During this time, God was teaching me that my witness at work wasn't as good as that it could be. I learned that humility and love are two of the best witnesses for Him. I learned that when people do things to you or say things about you at work, the best thing to do is to turn the other cheek and not retaliate. Everyone at the workplace knew that I was a Christian and firm in my beliefs. But I learned also that people at work have had bad experiences with judgmental Christians in their past, right? So not only did he want me to be firm in my beliefs, but he wanted me to show acceptance to them and love towards them and let them know they didn't have to act differently in front of me. You know, I wasn't offended by what they did, right? I believed in what I believed because of God, right? It was nothing to do with them. The next events that happened showed that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to me. And it also showed that the battle is won before the fight begins on the field of prayer. My enemy became my friend, which should not have been very surprising to me because I was once God's enemy and now I'm his friend. My friend was struggling in his marriage, which really rocked his core. He and his wife were discussing divorce. I mean, it really just broke him down. God used it to break him down, and he turned to Christ. And throughout this whole process, I played absolutely, positively no part except in prayer. That's all I did. But I was his co-worker. Someone else led him to Christ. I didn't. But after he was led to Christ, and he knew I was a Christian at work, and he felt I was someone that he could talk to as he had questions, or just someone at work that he could relate to because we now had this common interest in Christ. So after that, we grew to be very good friends, which was just something I never really could have predicted, right? It wasn't my plan. I had no idea that's what God was going to work out. But that's just a phenomenal example of what God can do, you know, if we believe in Him and if we pray. And I handed out to you guys before I started speaking a little card we call an evangelism prayer list. And you can write down the names of people on this card that you feel that God wants you to pray for. And you don't have to do that now. Go ahead and pray to God. Say, God, you know, what names do you want me to write on this card? Because He may already be working in people's lives right now, right? So we want to try and get on His page and let us tell Him the names that He wants us to start praying for. And this was the card. This is the exact type of card that I put my friend's name on and I used to pray for my friend a few years ago. I want to tell you also another story to illustrate the principle in John 4:35-38. Jesus said, "Do not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest.' Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For there, here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." So let me tell you one last story of a person that I put on my evangelism prayer list. And I've been praying for him for a while and no real response. But one day he asked me to lunch. This just happened last year. And we met for lunch and for business and talked about that. But then afterwards, and I was getting ready to leave, he's like, "Hey, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Sure." And he said, "Do you know a good church that I could go to?" And this person, he's just never been a Christian that I knew of. So we started talking, and he actually shared with me some experiences on a church he went to years ago that he kind of grew up a Christian, but some things happened at this church that he went to years ago that really turned him off towards God. So we had a really good conversation, and I kind of rejoiced inside. I said, "Wow, thank you, God, for, you know, using me to talk to this person." I just felt really good about that. But then I met him for dinner, I don't know, a few weeks later or something like that, and we talked again. And to my disappointment, he seemed really kind of disinterested in the whole process again. So I'm like, "Oh, well, wow, you know, you never know." But then again, we were talking just 3 weeks ago, believe it or not. And then he mentioned again, "Hey, you know, I'm still interested in Christianity. So, you know, you never know where this is going to go, right? And at least you can be content that you're planting seeds, like Mark said, you know, for the Lord. You're just stepping out in faith. You know, you don't know what God is doing, right? So you just have to trust in the Lord and be patient and just continue to obey and continue to be faithful." One thing that I do want to say is that, most of the people that I put on my evangelism prayer list, you know, have not been saved. So you know, I feel God wants me to step out in faith and pray for those people and keep doing it, and, you know, that's what I'm going to do, right? And I feel that He's given me some success in some areas as a way of encouragement, but also as a way of motivation to say, hey, don't give up. You know, just keep being persistent and keep praying. So I've handed out every one of you guys a little evangelism prayer list. What I do is kind of shaped like a bookmark. I put it in my Bible. And that's just a reminder for me every time I read my Bible, you know, or at least once a day to pray for them. So I encourage you guys to do the same thing. I see that as a very powerful tool. And I firmly believe that the battle is won before the fight begins on the field of prayer. And I want to close with this scripture, Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Man, if you're like me, you like to argue. I'm totally bent that way, and I will argue until I'm blue in the face. As my good friend Bill Roberson, I've heard say before, no one ever came to Christ because he lost an argument. And I've got to be mindful of that. When I step out and seek to evangelize and share the gospel, I'm entering into a conversation that way always with prayer. And so as Tom's talking to you about the evangelism prayer list, as we've mentioned, prayer, I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of prayer in our evangelism. And so for me, what that looks like is, as I begin to engage someone in conversation, I'm praying in my head. Lord God, I just give this to You. Just give me the words and allow me to serve You and to take myself out of the way. All of my junk, all of my tendency to argue, just to totally remove that right now, Lord, and allow me to speak Your truth. So prayer, guys, prayer. We just cannot overemphasize the importance of prayer. That said, I'd like to share with you from your handout, we got a list of tips and techniques. This is by no means meant to be an exhaustive list. We just can't do it. As Tom and I were putting this workshop together, we kind of sat down and began to brainstorm and talk about things that he and I have done over the years and things that we feel the Lord has allowed us to utilize based on what our gifts are. And not everybody is gifted the same way, of course, and so not all of these tips and techniques would you necessarily be comfortable with or feel like work well for you. But again, like I hope we come away from this workshop with, maybe you get an idea or two or three that you can begin to utilize on a more consistent basis. And so with that said, a key point I'd like to emphasize as well is, as not necessarily as much as prayer, but maybe something that's on my heart, is the manner in which the gospel is presented. And I think too often these days we tend to hear a really watered down version of the gospel. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to have a good and full understanding of what those foundational points are of the gospel, so that when we do have opportunity to share that, we're sharing that in a loving and winsome way with gentleness and respect, but in a way that never compromises on the truth, that never waters down the fact that God is holy, that man separated from God by sin is headed toward death, that Jesus Christ alone, He alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and has made that payment that's bridged that gap separating us from a holy God. And that we must believe on Him and accept Him as Lord and Savior. Four key points of the gospel. And so when God gives you the opportunity to share that, don't back down. Hold firm to His truth. Whether you think this guy you're talking to is going to accept what you're saying or not, be pleasing to God. Don't be pleasing to men. And don't water it down. So quick tips. Some things I've put down here, things that I use. Personal testimony, I think, is a great way to engage others in conversation. Let me talk to you about what God's done in my life. I'll tell you, man, before I came to know Jesus as my Savior, my life was a mess. And I'm not perfect now, but because I know Him in my heart, I've got a joy and a peace that this world just cannot understand and nothing in this world can give me. I'd love to share that with you. Would you like to talk about it? And see what happens. Throw it out there. You know, don't hammer a guy over the head with it, but toss it out there and just see if he'd like to talk about it. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But you've been obedient to God, you planted a seed, hopefully, and maybe the conversation goes a little further. Now, things I do, you know, I hand out tracts from time to time. And tracts are good. Be sure you get a good gospel tract that, like I was saying, clearly presents the gospel. And there's any number of ways to do that. Anybody go through drive-through restaurants, fast food? Anybody do that? I do, a little too often. But it's a wonderful opportunity. Keep a set of tracts in your car. You get up to the window. You pay. Hey, would you like to have one of these? I have never one time given out anything where somebody says, nah, I don't want that. People love to get stuff. Yeah, give me that. Yeah, I'll take it. And then tell them about Jesus. Just real quick. You know, Jesus loves you. He wants you to know that. Give this a quick read and see what you think about it. Just consider it. Have a blessed day. Thank you for my food. Yes?
So, hey, we get bored today
in between customers. Yeah, that's awesome. And what you can do too, even if you're so inclined, put an email address inside the tract. Hey, you know, get in touch with me. Love to talk to you about it. Yeah, good thought. Another thing I do too, fast food restaurant, is I'll pray and say, God, you know, would you have me pay for the food of the car behind me? And then an opportunity there to give two tracts to the person at the window. Hey, I'm going to pay for the car behind me. Would you hand them this and tell them that the reason why I did this is because there's an even greater gift for them to know about? So I was going through, it was Golden Chick. Fast food fried chicken, man. That's thank you, Lord. But I don't know why I just saw this. And it was the most recent time I had prayed, and God, would you have me pay for the food, the car behind me? And this, I don't know, it fully loaded, just huge Mercedes pulls up behind me, and I was like, nah, I guess that's the Lord telling me now, don't buy their food. Anyway. Other things, other ideas, in particular with tracks. If fast food's not your thing and you typically go where you got a waiter or waitress, engage. You know, they'll come over, hey, my name's John and I'll be your server today. Introduce yourself. Hey, John, I'm Mark. Nice to meet you. You having a good day? How's it going? Establish a little bit of a rapport there. They come back, they bring your food. Hey, John, we're Christians. We're about to eat. We're going to pray. Is there something I can pray for you? You will be amazed the feedback you'll get from that. An opportunity to evangelize right there with folks. Just by simply asking your waiter or your waitress, is there something I can pray for you? And then leave them a tract. And leave them a good tip. Don't scrimp on the tip. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. But you know, and here's the thing, and we're talking about kind of getting out of our holy huddle and breaking that bubble, stepping out in faith. Chick-fil-A, you know, that's a little bit of a safer place, you know, kind of Christian organization. And still, great idea. There's still folks there that need to know the love of Christ. Another point that I wanted to make in all of this, and this is a conversation I had with a young married couple at my church just recently, and had the opportunity, as they were seeking to join our church, to ask them one of the diagnostic questions. And if you're not familiar with a diagnostic question, the one that I asked them specifically was, if you died today and you stand before a holy God and He asks, why am I letting you into heaven, what are you going to say? And so that's a diagnostic question. And of course, the appropriate answer would be, according to God's truth, well, because Jesus died for my sins, He's cleansed me and given me, He's justified me so that I can come and stand before a sinless God. Well, this young couple, the husband had grown up Catholic, the wife had grown up in a Baptist church, the daughter of a Baptist pastor. Neither of them could give me a good answer to that diagnostic question. And so again, because of that question, it was an opportunity to clearly speak through the gospel to someone who had grown up in the church, the daughter of a pastor, did not know the gospel. And so even though we're talking about stepping outside of kind of our comfort zone in the church, don't necessarily assume just because somebody comes and sits in the pew every Sunday and reads their Bible that they truly know a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to ask the diagnostic question. Hey, tell me about your relationship with Jesus.
The Bible verse is the clearest on the gospel.
You want to go ahead? You're setting us up for the next part of what we're going to present. He asked about a Bible verse that clearly presents the gospel, kind of in a nutshell, just one verse. We're going to totally do that. Awesome question. I wanted to just go through a few more of these tips and techniques and things that I've used first. And I'd love to get some feedback from y'all, too, of things that maybe you've used or you've heard used that you think are effective as well. Dr. Gregory, you got one?
When you want feedback, you want it now?
Sure, anytime.
Can I stand up?
I wish you would stand up. Please, go ahead, and I'll actually come over here and stand by you.
Sam and I, as we were walking up here, I mean, the title of this deal today is to get out of being a bubble Christian, just talking there. And Sam said that it's sometimes hard to, he thinks I kind of butt in at times, you know. But I was going to tell him this. One of the thoughts of my prayer each day is to, Lord, if you open some doors for me today, help me to see them and step in. And like that scripture, I told him at first, Peter 3:15, be ready always. Well, here's kind of some things that happened. I ride a bike for exercise, stop over at the health club, and I usually don't carry much with me. So I asked him, you got a scrap piece of paper and wire pen? So I write some stuff down. About three Sundays ago, I was there, and one of the guys that worked there, he came over at the table and said, hey, when you buy that paper, what are you writing on that? And so I had a chance to share with him. I said, I write things I've been thinking about that I think God wants me to do or people to talk to. So, in other words, I didn't butt in. He came and asked me, what are you writing over there? So I told him right there. So I'm saying this, that if you pray and God opens the door, how about that being a door open? The guy said, what are you writing on there? So I got a chance, and I brought over. So it's an interesting story, which I can't tell. I won't take all time to do that. I took him over a couple of literatures that I've written, and he said he'd read them. I haven't heard why you read them yet. I was also asked to speak to the Bible class over at my church. So getting ready for that, you know, you do better if you prepare a little bit. So I was over at the Starbucks and the Tom Thumb grocery writing a few things down. And one of the guys that works around there and puts stuff on the shelf came over and said, hey, Doc, what are you writing and what are you doing over here? So I started, in other words, I didn't go and say, hey, come over here, I want to talk. He came over and asked me, he said, what are you doing, what are you writing? So I had a chance to talk to him. So I'm saying again there, God opens the door. Today, over there, as Sam and I were leaving La Quinta, this nurse came up and said, I want to meet you. And I didn't go up to say, lady, I want to know who you are. She came up and asked me, who are you? And I want to know you. So I'm just saying, if you ask God to open some doors, He can open them, and you need to get your eyes open to see Him, because I didn't used to think of that. I mean, I've done a lot of stuff in my life now that I wasn't doing 20 years ago. But, I mean, hey, as you get my age, I'm thinking one of these days I'm going to be going to heaven pretty quick, so I better get everybody with me that I can. And so it's kind of changed my thinking. But I'm saying that you may not have to butt in anybody. They may come and ask you.
Amen to that. That's a great point. Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Gregory. Pray for opportunity. Man, ask God would you have me and show me clearly? Because, you know, I'm a knucklehead. I need to see it clearly, Lord. Show me. And I do that. I live in Dallas, and Tom lives in Denver. And so we have opportunities in a number of ways, including homeless folks, guys standing on street corners. And I will always pray, God, would you have me speak to this guy? And it's a pretty clear yes or no. But the one thing, and I don't know if you ever have opportunity to reach out to homeless folks, do not give cash. The last thing we want to do in a loving relationship is enable someone in their brokenness. So what I do, I keep a supply of granola bars, a supply of tube socks, t-shirts, things like that. And I always introduce myself. Roll down the window, hey, my name's Mark, what's your name? The guy I just talked to the other day, Mike. Mike, would you like to have a pair of socks? You should see the smile on his face. And then I tell him about Jesus. And I don't know if Mike knows Jesus or not, but he's heard about him.
He's sitting here to give money to a homeless guy. I've got a friend that has some business coming along the city. And he said, for years there was a drunk that laid out under the shade of a tree outside of his home. And he would occasionally give him $5 knowing he was going to go buy books. And he was sitting in his office one day. And this guy came in, clean clothes, clean shaven, and walked up to him and said, thank you. Thank you for the faith you had in me.
Wow, that's a good story. Yeah. And God can use that.
I would encourage you guys to talk to homeless people or people on the street. Right? That's fertile soil there. Buy some tracks. Mark's going to talk about some places you can get them. I get my tracks just off of Billy Graham's website. You just order them. Steps to Peace with God. I mean, it's real easy if you're, you know, just want to start breaking out of your bubble. You know, who can I talk to? Those people that'll listen to you, right? They'll hit the tracks. I hand them out all the time. What I do, because I'm concerned about the money, and, you know, I talk to people on the side of the street to... You know, I've had people come up to me and say, hey, I need some gas, you know. So, actually, I bought it in my car, drove to the gas station, and then they changed their mind, and then they didn't need gas anymore. So I think you need to use some kind of judgment. But what I do is I go to a food place, and I'll buy the little gift cards, you know, that you can use at a food place for food. And I'll hand those out, and they're just as appreciative of that as they are cash.
Anybody use tracks? Anybody like John Piper? Who likes John Piper? Anybody know Vaughty Baucham? Yeah? He's awesome, man. Anybody patriotic? Do all roads lead to God? Anybody got a kind of a hard sell friend Tracks, man, they're great, but they're not the be-all, end-all, of course. They're a door opener. They're hopefully an opportunity to further engage folks a little bit more. Another technique, this is one my wife uses a lot. She gave several of these out to friends and coworkers at Christmas time. God's promises for every day. It's all Scripture-based, but it's kind of easy reading, topically based, and just a nice little booklet, a handout, something you can hand out and give to a friend, a coworker, in a non-offensive way. Hey, I thought about you. Write a little note inside. I'd like for you to have this. Anybody interested in having one of those? Anybody else? Another thing that we do with that, too, is we have a copy of that in our guest bathroom at home. And so I would pose the question to you. Folks come over to your house. What do they see? What kind of reading material do you have there sitting around the house? Leave something like that in your guest bathroom, and folks have the opportunity right there to be exposed to Scripture. It's the reading room.
I do want to emphasize that I came to Christ primarily through tracts, through reading things. You know, it depends on our personality. Some of you may have someone witness to you and lead you to Christ. You know, I did it through tracts primarily, things like that. So never underestimate you know, the power of a gospel track, how God can use that to hand it out to someone.
Ever give anybody a Bible?
Yes, that is absolutely
two Bibles
necessary.
Especially for guys. Man, you go on a hunting trip, camo Bible. That's cool.
Have a spare Bible.
I keep several in my car, again, for the same reason. Opportunity, if the conversation can go on a little bit longer and I have a chance to ask, do you have a Bible? No? Well, here's one. Or one of these, my little Bible. Really handy. I mean, really cool. And people will be like, wow, that's the Bible? And it's just a great conversation piece. Anybody? My little Bible. It's not complete. Man, you'd have to have a telescope to read it. So guys, those are just examples of things that I like to do. I like to keep a supply of stuff like that handy in my car. And so if I'm out and about, I have a chance to share with someone based on the length of the conversation, you know, give them a gift. But always tell them, this is a gift given because of an even greater gift. You see? See what I mean? So just a few thoughts. I mean, other ways to engage. Somebody was talking about, Dr. Gregory was in the workplace or when he was exercising. Something I like to do too, my scripture memory. I print it out and I tape it on my desk right by my monitor. And I'm not putting it out there in somebody else's face at work, but they walk in my office and they see it and they ask about it. Boom. Opportunity. Carry my Bible to work. I read it at lunch. Same thing. Hey, what's going on? I'm eating some lunch and reading God's Word. Sometimes folks will just do a complete 180 and take off. Other times they'll ask, what are you reading? Opportunity. Yes, sir.
So, at our church a couple months ago, they said the first stage in front of the Christ is curiosity.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, and two, I think it's a good approach to try to get folks to ask questions. Because if you can get them to ask a question, you can respond with the gospel. They've engaged you with a question. You can respond with God's word. Yeah.
I got a college I went to work for a Springs, and I taped a Bible verse on one of the machines that was doing sound recordings. And this DJ, he was the best known DJ in Colorado Springs. Radio personality. He'd do recitations, you know, and they're recording his voice. Well, he looked at that Bible verse, we commented on it, and a few days later he was execution murdered. Halfway down the Pueblo, they found him in a ditch, all tied up. Isn't that amazing? Just had opportunities to share.
Man.
You never know.
And that's the thing, we don't ever know. God's promised us eternal life, but He hadn't promised us tomorrow. Okay, so the question came from the back a little while ago, if you could pick just one singular verse. And guys, I've got a few other things there on that list. You can read through those. Man, one I like to engage folks with is Duck Dynasty. It's just such a cool show. Guys like to talk about it. And, you know, you can always get right around to their prayer at the close of the show, and boom, you're right into conversation about the gospel. But one thing that we like to utilize in our ministry, our discipleship ministry, is to help folks with sharing the gospel based on one verse from the Bible. And that's what we call it, one verse evangelism. And typically within our ministry, we use John 5:24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Now the Navigators have also for a lot of years utilized Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Tom's passing around a copy of those with an illustration of how we go about doing that. And so what we were hoping we'd be able to do, if time is going to allow, because we're getting a little bit tight, is Tom and I were going to just role play real quickly, like within a couple of minutes, how you could even... maybe with a coworker at lunch, engage and share the one verse evangelism and draw out the illustration as a means of sharing the gospel with a guy that maybe you've established some friendship relationship with at work, but you know that he's far from the Lord. So I'll let Tom pass those out. And then what I want us to do as well after Tom and I role play for just a minute or two is allow y'all to pair up, because this is a workshop, and then practice doing this yourself, just hearing yourself present the verse, write it out, and then draw the illustration yourself. The thing about this, as it is with all of our sharing of the gospel, our evangelizing, practice, practice, practice. The more we practice, the more we do it, the better we get. Okay, so hypothetical, Tom and I are buddies at work. I don't know if Tom knows the Lord or not. And we've got a friendly working relationship with one another. We go to lunch every so often. And so Monday, this coming Monday, I get back to work after being here this weekend. And Tom and I go to lunch together, and we sit down at lunch, and Tom asks,
"Hey, man, I noticed you read the Bible a lot. What's up with that?"
Well, you know, I do that, but I went to this conference this weekend, and I actually picked up on something that is kind of a cool drawing. I'd like to share it with you if we could take just 2 minutes maybe and do that.
Yeah, that sounds
okay.
Cool.
So the deal is, and what I would do at this point is actually write out the verse. And I'd say, you know, this is an illustration that comes from a verse from the Bible, and I've written it out. You want to read it?
Yeah. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 6:23.
And so the deal is, the illustration that goes with that, and then I begin to draw it out, and what I do with Romans 6:23, and you can see from your illustration, is that first part of the verse, 3 points: wages, sin, and death. And so the deal is, Tom, that, you know, what this verse tells us is that what we've earned by virtue of being sinners, our wages of sin, is death.
That doesn't sound very good.
But the deal is, the really great part of this verse is that what God does then is His gift from Him, gift of God, is eternal life. And so the thing that separates us from that gift of God of eternal life is our sin. And that's kind of the but. That's a big but. But what this verse also tells us, and then I draw the cross and I put Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the condition there is knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord, He's bridged that gap. So that the wages we've earned by virtue of our sin is no longer death, but we've been given a free gift of God, which is eternal life. And so the deal is, we've got to accept that. We've got to recognize it and then believe on it. And so, you know, I think that's cool because that so clearly illustrates what it means to know Christ and accept Him. So what do you think about that?
That's pretty cool.
And that's it right there. What do you think about that? And see where it goes. So, easy enough? Think that that's something that you could utilize as well with somebody? You know, again, this may not necessarily be something that you would share with someone you've just met, but maybe someone you've established a little bit of a friendly relationship with over time. Like I say, a family member, even a co-worker. You could even pose it. I've done this before with family members. You know, "Hey, I learned this new thing at church, and I need to practice on it some. Would you mind if I just practice with you a little bit?" Sure, it's fine. But then close the deal. Ask the question, "What do you think about this?" Any thoughts on this before we give you a few minutes to jump in yourself? Yeah.
You know, this is really good. I'm not discounting that at all. The people you come in contact with, the guys that we come in contact with, a lot harder, a lot present. It's going to take time, 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 and time to invest in their lives before you ever...
Yeah, and that's a great point. Again, that's where I think you want to enter into as you're engaging with a guy like that. "Lord God, show me clearly how you would have me speak to this guy right here, right now." You can't, and that's an excellent point. I wanted to even make that point earlier too, and it's my good friend Chuck Madden who told me this long time ago. never be offended by what you hear a non-believer say. It might be shocking. It can be shocking what you hear them say, but never, never be offended by what a non-believer might say. Yeah. But to your point, I think that's where you really want to, again, emphasize, God, show me. Give me the wisdom and discernment right now in this moment to know how you'd have me speak to this guy. It might be nothing more than, you know, you wouldn't do it necessarily with a crusty guy like you're talking about, but sometimes evangelism is nothing more than a hug and I love you.
Sometimes it takes 4 years.
Sometimes it takes decades. Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, is it possible to consider tweaking your buddy's statement every day for a month? It just says, I am offended by the world all the time, and this is full of sin. And that ought to be offensive to people. Challenge is not to show offense. So you disengage and turn the person off. It's still good.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that, yeah, a holy God is offended by sin, certainly. And so, yeah, it's not that it's not offensive, you're right. But maybe to your point as well, I don't want to be turned off with respect to engaging that person in conversation. I'm not going to be surprised by what they say. It might be shocking. Yeah, it might be offensive to our idea of holiness. But
that's the gospel, right? God's offended by our sin, but His love overcomes it. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to love Him more than we're offended.
That's been years working with Jesus already.
Yeah, man, is it ever?
We all agree. Well, a lot one time, and there was a mechanic there covered in tattoos, given to him, probably given to himself on the LSD trip.
Yeah.
And I had to go on this lot about every other Friday, so I go all the time, make it a purpose, go up and speak to the man. Well, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And I did that a week. And I went in one day and I said, "Hey, you got a guy who's all over the room. What are you doing for lunch?" He says, "Don't worry about it." I said, "I didn't know money was the issue." That's what are you doing for lunch? He says, "What?" There was a cafe around the corner from the bar lot. I said, "Why don't we go around the cafe and I'll buy you lunch?" And he goes, "Nobody ever bought me lunch."
Huh. Yeah.
So I took him around and bought him a chicken fried steak. I would like to sit there and talk. I shared the gospel through the radio liberation. And we went back to draw off and then we walked in off. I took my office and was ready to move to
God. Awesome, man. Awesome.
We saw everybody that could give.
You know, Jesus said one soul is another reaches. So who knows? Maybe you will meet someone that other people have sown in their lives for years or for decades, and they are ready to hear this. You know, be prepared to give an answer.
Oh, yes, sir.
I got two comments.
Okay.
One is, for anything I've learned at one of the workshops here at PMI several years ago, there's one gem I picked up, and I've applied it and it works. Meet them where they're at. Meet them where they're at. I'm thinking back to what you were saying. Meet them where they're at. Yeah, you're going to hear stuff that's going to burn your ears, and it's going to offend you, but you just work right through it, and meet them where they're at, and build from there. Number two, we live in a society that a lot of people do not know what sin is. So if you don't define somewhere in that conversation and convict their conscience of what sin is, you're not going to get anywhere because they have no need.
Right, there's no need for a Savior if you don't understand what sin is. So two good points there. Yeah, meet folks where they're at. And that's really what we talk about when we talk about relationship evangelism, is finding that common ground. And that's what I heard expressed yesterday in the sharing the gospel in the marketplace. Find that common ground with folks, those things you have in common that you can share. As a guy hunting buddy, as a guy fishing buddy, things that you have in common. Do you like the same football team? Any of that sort of stuff that you can build on and establish more of a relationship. It's the idea too. People don't care what you know till they know how much you care. You got to establish relationship. But then your second point being, sin, convicting them of sin. And certainly that's the Holy Spirit's job to do that, but we've got to clearly explain that as well, that there is a need for a Savior because of sin.
Yeah. Exactly. The discussion of sin, which is the bad news, is in, these are short versions of the bridge illustration. Never give them the bad news without giving the good news. So it's right here, you have to clearly explain that sin separates us. So this is your opportunity to do that, but also to give them the good news that Jesus helps.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's partner up for just about 5 minutes. Practice going through, drawing out the bridge illustration, just to give yourself an opportunity to do that.
Pick whichever one you like the best, John 5:24, Romans 6:23. Practice with each other.
Hey guys, I'm going to cut you just a little short on this because we're about to run out of time here. And so before we get out of here... Sorry, fellas.
We want to respect your time.
We want to make sure you get out of here right at 10:15, our set time. But I wanted to make a couple of points just in conclusion. We had your partner up here, and that's kind of a key part of evangelism as well. Don't feel like you've always got to step out there by yourself. Partner up with another guy. And I like to do that as well. I'm not always the most engaging conversationalist, but I've got a great buddy, a really faithful guy in Christ who is. Man, he can strike up a conversation with that wall and be entertained and have a good time. And so he's a really engaging guy. And so he and I kind of play off of each other. And so consider that as well. Find a running buddy. There's a reason why Jesus first sent his disciples out in twos. Because there's a power and a confidence in that as well. So
look. Send them off two by two.
Yeah, isn't that what it said? Yeah. Okay.
Peter, college professor, he would take another Christian buddy and invite the other guy's friend out and have the other guy witness to him.
Yeah.
Somebody friends back in the apartment.
Yeah. Okay, so with what we've just done, is there anyone in here who, just very quickly, like in a minute or two, would like to present the one-verse evangelism for us? Volunteer. Real quick. Yeah, go ahead, man. All right, I like it.
All right, sounds good. So, hey, man, I'm a Christian, and I want to kind of explain what that means. There's one verse in the Bible I think really reduces it to just the core elements, and that's Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." It starts off by describing our situation, your situation, my situation. We're all sinful. We've all broken God's commands, and that causes a gulf, a barrier. If humanity's here, there's a big gulf between us and perfection, us and God. That's true for everybody that lives on this planet. And the problem is, the wage, what we earn from that sin, is death, eternal death, separation from God. But the good news of the gospel is that there's a free gift. We didn't earn it, but Jesus is offering it. And that bridges that gulf where, when by making Him our Lord, through faith in Him, we can be made right with God and have eternal life. That's the core message of the gospel, and that's something that you've heard before.
Awesome, man. Let's hear it for Connor. For Connor. Woo! Yeah, I love it. All right, so because you volunteered, Connor, have you ever read Robert Coleman's The Master Plan of Evangelism?
I never have, no sir.
You can read it now. That's yours. All right, thank you, guys. This has been a real blessing for me. I think it has been for Tom. I hope it has been for you. Like I said, I hope you came away from this with at least an idea or two, maybe something fresh that you hadn't considered before, that you can at least try out, maybe incorporate into the way in which you talk to folks, the privilege that we have to do just that, to talk to them about Jesus Christ. And so in conclusion, I've got it on your handout as well. The key points here that I really wanted to reemphasize as well is that God calls us to be His ambassadors, and we're privileged to do that. If you think about throughout Scripture where God presents truth. He uses angels and how people react when they see angels appear in the Bible. The power of that message. God could use angels to share His gospel right now. But for some reason, He calls us to do that. We're privileged to do that. Man, grab a hold of that privileged opportunity with gusto. And let's, you know, storm the gates of hell like men for Christ. When we evangelize, guys, it's always a win-win-win. So I hope you're encouraged by that as well. That we're stepping out in order to glorify God. It's always a win, no matter what the results are. And prayer. Just cannot overemphasize prayer. Pray for opportunities. When opportunities present themselves, pray that the Lord would guide your steps through it. And He'll answer. He absolutely will answer. It's a clear-cut promise. So that's what we got. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. Any closing questions, comments? Yeah, be sure to fill out your evaluation form. We'll pick those up. And so,
on the back of your handouts, a lot of resources for follow-up, websites, things like that. So please check that out.
Hey, you younger guys, too, I wanted to point this one out real quick. Under the jump in, Need Him. Man, that's a way that you can engage folks with social media. And you do it anonymously. You sign up, you volunteer, they train you online. And then anytime you have opportunity to go out and log in to their website, you see questions that come in, people who are looking, searching, want to know some answers. You can grab a hold of one of those questions and start to text back and forth, various other forms of social media where you can engage. I wanted some of you young guys in particular to know about that. But yeah, Tom, thank you for pointing that out. Resources, by no means exhaustive. Good place to start. You probably got some other ideas as well. So thanks again, guys.